Abhadram acharya punah. sinners to thee. And separated my sons from me. Yad, which na unto us, from you, a padron, an inauspicious acharaha, erdan, punaha, again, kasma, therefore, lokeshu, in all the planetary systems within the universe, te, of you, mudha, O rascal, not knowing how to act, na, not, bhavet, there may be, brahmataha, who are wandering, padam, and abode. Translation. Daksha is speaking to Narada Muni and tells him, you have made me lose my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore, you are a rascal who does not know how to behave toward others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Because Prajapati Daksha was a Griha Bindi who wanted to remain in household life, he thought that if Narada Muni could not remain in one place but had to travel all over the world, that would be a great punishment for him. Actually, however, such a punishment is a boon for a preacher. A preacher is known as Pavindraja Acharya, an acharya or teacher who always travels for the benefit of human society. Prajapati Daksha cursed Narada Muni by saying that although he had the facility to travel all over the universe, he would never be able to stay in one place. In the parampara system from Narada Muni, I have also been cursed. Although I have many centers that would be suitable places for residence, I cannot stay anywhere, for I am cursed by the parents of my young disciples. Since the Krishna consciousness movement was started, I have traveled all over the world 2 or 3 times a year. And although I have provided comfortable places to stay wherever I go, I cannot stay anywhere for more than 3 days or a week. I do not mind this curse by the parents of my disciples, but now it is necessary that I stay in one place to finish another task, this translation of Srimad Bhagavatam. If my young disciples, especially those who have taken sannyas, take charge of traveling all over the world, it may be possible for me to transfer the curse of the parents to these young creatures. Then I may sit down immediately in one place for the word of translation. Tantu kirtana yanasvam abhadram acharakpunah tasma lokeshu te mudha nabhavet bhamatak padam. You have made me lose my my sons once, and now you have again done the same inauspicious thing. Therefore you are a rascal who does not know how to behave toward others. You may travel all over the universe, but I curse you to have no residence anywhere. Oh my God, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu
being the cause of detachment
from worldly affairs, both political and social. Like Srila Prabhupada says here, I do not mind being first like that. I think for a preacher that's a dharma, Prabhupada Acharya. He is traveling all the time. There's no place to become comfortable. That's actually against the principle. Bhavnara Muni, the first candidate, said he wouldn't stay longer than it would take to milk a cow. Then he would take the time to enlighten the place or the persons where he went to, including family men, householders. So in general, a devotee does not mind being placed in a situation that materially, from a material point of view, seems to be a setback. Because he sees that the Lord himself is making these arrangements, and he knows best what is necessary for us to advance in the spiritual life. Therefore, from a material point of view, one may go or undergo hardship or be placed in a situation that is extreme. But from the spiritual point of view, it may be just the right thing that one needs to become detached from the material world. So therefore, Daksha, of course, he is a Prajapati. He is already described as a Griha Devi. He himself, in the previous verse, has said that I'm a Griha Brata. Now that word already appears, will appear in the next canto. Prahlada will speak about the Griha Brata, about his father. When he says, Matiena Krishna Paradaksa Nova Vitorila Yeka Griha Pratana. Now Srila Prabhupada, when he comments on that verse, very curiously, he says, Prahlada Maharaj has been actually pacifying Hiranyakashipu. He tells him, don't worry, you will not become Krishna conscious. First of all, you have taken that vow. It's a vow of Vrata, Griha Vrata. I want to become happy in this world. I will do whatever it takes to come to that position. So once that vow is taken, then no matter what happens, Matiya Krishna Paradaksa Bhava, one can make an effort himself, one can hear from others, or one is a combination of both. But because one is very determined to not become Krishna conscious, therefore one will not become so. So Daksha, that's his position also. I am known as a Grihavrata. I am taking this vow. So therefore, if I want for you a situation that, from my point of view, is very painful. For me, that is a punishment. So therefore, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, for the spiritualist, what is day for the materialist is actually night. And what is night for the materialist is day. Daksha thinks, if you don't have a place to stay, this is like night. It's horrible. And Narada Muni says, oh, wonderful, I will have no place to stay, so I cannot become attached. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cursed by this Brahman. It's an Adilila. This Brahman was not allowed to enter into Srivasa's house to participate in the kirtans. So the next day when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told him that I will curse you, that you will have no material enjoyment in this life. What a wonderful person. So this is inconceivable. Prakasha, inconceivable that Narada Muni will not mind that he is so-called being cursed to not stay anywhere. Or that Maharaj Parikshit doesn't mind being cursed to die within 7 days. Or that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is cursed to have no material embodiment in this lifetime. It's a blessing. So it only should try to understand the verses in that way. Sometimes astrologers, when they look at a chart and they see negative things, they will tell you that it's a shapa. It's a curse. Shapa means curse. It comes from previous lifetimes. There's some bad configuration, so you have to suffer. It's due to a curse. Somebody cursed you. You have no children, for example. It's a curse. You have no money. It's a curse. No health. It's a curse. No fame. It's a curse. Now for a devotee, no children, no money, no fame. It's a blessing. Maybe even not so healthy. Difficult to accept, but it may be a blessing. When we become, especially those who are, nowadays it's very popular to go to the gym and work out, be healthy, and take all kinds of food supplements and wonderful pills and this and that and diets to become strong and healthy. And then you have these people who are still in their 60s and maybe even 70s. They'll take a photograph of that. Probably just a flat tire. So, no, I don't have a flat tire. My tire is, you know, just right. So they become very proud. One is very healthy, nice features, all these things, Brahmaishwara Sutta Shriya, four things that one becomes proud, and then Kunti Devi says one can have no sincere feeling to approach the Lord. So they are even bad health, in one sense, may be a blessing for somebody who easily would have become proud if he would be too healthy. Anyway, the point is, because these things generally are out of our control, we accept them as being ordained by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That Krishna has made an arrangement so that I can surrender more, that I can remember him more. Akinchana Vachana, that's the idea. In Kunti's prayers, that if one is exhausted, there's nothing in this material world where one can take shelter. Like Prabhupada wrote in his poem, here in Vrindavan, after leaving his family, that now I have penniless. And everybody rejects me, basically. There's no interest. If you have a lot of money, then the whole family is waiting. When will this guy die? And we'll see, of course, in the testament where is my share of the fortune. But if you have nothing, then who cares? Nobody cares for you. So that's good. And from the spiritual point of view, I'm penniless. I'm not attractive to anybody. Probably nobody will kill me for my money. That's the rule. Nobody will cheat me for my money because I don't have any. So in that sense, these so-called setbacks and shapas or curses, the devotee sees them as a blessing. Let's see, there were some other examples. Oh, Chitra Ketu is another example. He was cursed by Parvati. She says that now you take birth in a low, sinful family of demons so that you will not commit such an offense again. And then Chitraketu, he accepts the curse. He also said, Rajyamara, I accept the curse, I do not mind the curse. For happiness and distress are given by the demigods as a result of one's past deeds. So whatever comes, he accepts. So Prabhupada, the purport, we can read this very instructive. He says, since Chitraketu was a devotee of the Lord, he was at all disturbed by the curse of Mother Parvati. He knew that he had not committed any offense at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva or the goddess Parvati. Yet he had been punished, and this means that the punishment had been ordained. Thus the king did not mind it. A devotee is naturally so humble and meek that he accepts any condition of life as a blessing from the Lord. And then Prabhupada quotes, Tatevu Kamtam Susakshu Shamaru. If one can have this attitude of just hoping for the blessing of the Lord, for His mercy, knowing Bunjana Ivaka Kritam Vivaka, that whatever comes, Bunjana, I have to eat it, whether it's good or bad, whether it's sweet or salty, Devakritam, because it's due to my own needs. Who will I blame? It's my own fault. That's the vision, the right way. But that's always the other's fault. This is materialistic point of view. Whatever bad happens to me, it's always the other's fault. But the devotee would understand that Devakritam, it's my own doing. So therefore, the devotee, Prabhupada says, always accepts punishment from anyone as the mercy of the Lord. If one lives in this conception of life, he sees whatever reverses occur to be due to his past misdeeds, and therefore he never accuses anyone. On the contrary, he becomes increasingly attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of his being purified by suffering. Suffering, therefore, is also a process of purification. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments that Maharaj Chitraketu's being cursed by Parvati should be considered the mercy of the Lord. The Lord wanted Chitraketu to return to God as soon as possible, and therefore he terminated all the reactions of his past deeds, and through the heart of Parvati, the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart, cursed Chitraketu in order to end all his material reactions. We have another example. There are many examples of curses. Gajendra is another example. And the crocodile. They were both cursed. Different circumstances. And then, by providence, by the will of the Lord, they came together. And you know the story. So at the end, Gajendra, he remembers, he gives the Lord's mercy also, past prayers, he offered prayers. The Lord descends, kills the crocodile with the Sudarshan Chakra. And the crocodile transforms. He had been cursed also. The crocodile had been a Gandharva, King Guru, and he had been cursed by Devalamuni to become such a body. So, Prabhupada says, the curse by which the Gandharva took this position of a crocodile was actually a blessing, not a curse. One should not be displeased when a saintly person curses someone. For his curse indirectly is a blessing. The Gandharva had the mentality of an inhabitant of the celestial planetary system, and for him to become an associate of the Supreme Lord would have taken millions of long years. Millions. However, because of being cursed by Devaka Rishi, he became a crocodile. And in only one life, he was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face and be promoted to the spiritual world. So, it looks something looks from the surface like this, but actually, in a deeper level, in a deeper understanding, it's something else, especially for the devotees. We always should remember that. Whatever happens, the Lord is taking charge of your life. If it's apparently bad, it may be the best thing that ever happened to you. And something so-called good, careful, it may entangle you. Let's say tomorrow, some unknown uncle from the North Pole, you inherit $100 million. What do you do? Give it to the TOB? Okay, well, how can I invest it in such a way that I will have 200 million within the next 6 months? And then I can buy a castle in France, a chalet on the Côte d'Azur, on the lamppost. Let's go to India, where's the best place here to enjoy? There's no place here to enjoy. But you can go to so many places on this planet where you think, oh, I can enjoy it with $100 million. Well, depends where you go. You may spend it in one shot on one big palace in somewhere in California. It may cost $100 million. So it depends. If one suddenly has all these facilities for enjoyment, the mind may become distracted and one may become deviated. And if you have $100 million and you lose it and there's nothing left, people may think, oh, some actually commit suicide. They think our life is useless. And the devotee will think, oh, thank you, my Lord. It was such a problem to think what to do with this, all this money. Now I have nothing left. I can just do it. Become a humble servant. Anyway, that's the idea. To accept whatever the Lord or his devotees ordain. The famous example we have, Yamuna Arjuna trees, which here stay here in Vrindavan, the two sons of Kubera, who also apparently they were from a materialistic point of view in a very nice situation, had it, you know, being intoxicated, they had all the facilities for drinking, not just ordinary whiskey, but some celestial beverage, and society girls from the heavenly planets, not just any kind of human women. So they were enjoying action. Any materialist would say, wow, if I could have that kind of facility, that would be wonderful. Narada Muni cursed them. And again, we know that this curse was the greatest blessing. Krishna came and, well, how do you say it? That's also very bad, actually, for a tree. It means you die. If you're uprooted, sometimes when you cut, then they grow again. But if it's uprooted, that's it, finished. So the Yamuna Arjuna trees were uprooted by Krishna. And of course, also they assumed their original forms and became liberated. So all these examples we have seen, so-called setbacks or unwanted situations for a devotee, they are actually blessings. And in our personal lives, it would be good if we can always see things like that. So, a few minutes of, maybe somebody can relate from their own experience, how, without getting into necessary details, how something happened in our lives. In the beginning, even sometimes it looks like really very difficult to accept or tolerate. And then after some time, when it looks bad, that happens many times. One sees that actually this was very good, isn't it? Or even without a specific, so how many of you have had an experience that found something really, apparently very bad happened, and then later on we have seen that actually was good? I can raise my hand. I lost my eldest son, which at the time was very difficult. But without getting into the details, it was pleasant. So, anybody? Volunteers? Or any questions, any doubts about this? Maybe it's not so easy to accept this philosophy. People have doubts about this. Is it really so? It's so easy to say, something bad happens, just accept it as Krishna's mercy and see it as a blessing. You can say like that, but then when it happens, then that's not so easy. And sometimes we may find that also we are being tested. How far does one's faith go? Or is it shaky, and as soon as things go in the wrong direction, some people actually reject the Lord. In other traditions, we have examples like that. Srila Prabhupada used to give the example of the Second World War, where the ladies who were wives, mothers, sisters, and what else, of their husbands and sons and brothers who were in the war, and they went to church to pray that they would come back. And of course, many, many did not come back. So that many, many lost their faith. And they stopped to go to church. Or sometimes something happens, and then one may feel, how this can happen? Why to me? Right. Well, I've been serving faithfully for so many years, sacrificing my life every day, getting up at 4 o'clock to go to Mangalaya. I've chanted all my rounds, and now you do this to me? Is this the compensation? What somebody may think like that. I've sacrificed everything, and now, as a result, this is the what? How is this possible?
A lot nearer, and there's a boat that the temple was on, And I didn't even realize.
Yes.
So there you go. Hare Krishna.
For example. Anything else? Yeah. Yasyaha manubinami harishyata dhanam shalai. Krishna says to Maharaj Yudhishthira, sometimes when I favor a devotee, I will take everything away. This is one more direct example. Krishna himself is already telling us, be prepared, this may happen. So,
Yeah.